I personally believe that if you don't support mutual security earnestly, sincerely, and with the clear realization that we are serving America's best interests in so doing, that we're going to spend many more billions in this static negative defense. And may I point out, ladies and gentlemen, there's no amount of money that you can pour in to bombs and missiles and planes and tanks and guns that will assure you peace.
Tomorrow, the House takes up the final vote on the foreign aid question, and the Senate starts to discuss the issue, and another split across party lines is expected. Well, gentlemen, we've had about 10 years' experience now in spending some $40 billion in foreign aid. Now, do you think we should spend more or less? Senator, how do you feel about that?
I think we should spend decidedly less. Since World War II, instead of spending, as you've just indicated, $41 billion, we've spent $55 billion in foreign aid. And I believe that it's now time to taper it off. Last year, we appropriated new funds, $2.7 billion. The House has cut it back $1.1 billion, and the President wants almost $5 billion. And I think it's time to cut it back much less than what was appropriated last year.
Let me ask Congressman Judd his opinion.
Well, Mr. McCormick, I think the essential question is not how much, but how. Everybody says how much, how much. That's not the real question. The problem in this whole program is to get a better program. You have to ask three questions. What do the people need? Well, that's astronomical. Second, how much can they effectively use? And that's a great deal less. And third, we have to ask another question. How much can they self-respectingly receive? And here's the place where I would agree with the senator that we've in some places given too much because we've just sort of flooded them and crowded them by putting in more than they could self-respectingly receive. But I would say these two additional facts. We're in greater danger today, in my opinion, than ever before. I wish we could taper off, but if I've got a patient that I thought would be doing very well with his tuberculosis, but he's not getting better, I've still got to carry on unless I'm going to abandon the patient. We're in greater danger than ever before because the Soviet Union's got greater military power than ever before. Second, it's using more skillfully and to a larger degree its economic measures around the world. As long as we confront those two great threats, I'm not willing to take the responsibility to cut down the security of my country.
Well, Congressman Judd, of course, that was the same argument that was advanced in 1948 and 49 when the Marshall Aid Plan was put on the statute books. Now, I voted for the Marshall Aid Plan in the hope that we could rehabilitate the countries of Western Europe to the point where they could take care of themselves. But we have done that. We've spent, for instance, in France, over $5 billion. Now, what is France doing now with the military? Are they in Europe next to ours in case the worst is to come? No. They are in North Africa fighting colonialism. And in Southeast Asia, the British there are very anxious that things remain the status quo. But who's doing the work out there? We are the only ones spending every dime that is being spent in that area. It strikes me that Australia ought to be able to come in, New Zealand ought to be able to come in for some, but we are carrying the entire load, not only in Formosa, in Korea, in Japan, but also in Southeast Asia.
Congressman Judd.
I grant you that we're carrying the bulk of the load, and I don't think we've handled it very well during these 8 years in getting our allies to do more. But I can't still, even though the previous doctors may not have done too well with the patient, I still can't walk out on the patient over against what you've said. And it's true that I think, sir, that one of the reasons the program's in difficulty is because year after year people have said, well, now we'll get through this 1 year in order to get this year's appropriation, then we can taper off. I never took that position. Senator, until there's some way for you and me to get off the planet or the Soviet Union fades or changes, you're going to have some kind of a program of helping our allies stay free, not as foreign aid, not charity, but because you and I want to stay free. That's
my Congressman
answer.
Judd, the same people who are now demanding and requesting of Congress this huge sum in addition to what's in the pipeline are the ones that have been doing this bad job that you intimate in the past. I'm saying this to you, that I think it's almost criminal for our money to be wasted as it has been in Formosa. in Saigon, in Indochina. Here in Formosa, for instance, we are trying to balance agriculture with industry when you don't have anything to work with. And I found cases where we spent as many as $200 million in order to establish plants there to bring up or try to balance the industry with agriculture. Now, we have done in Formosa, in agriculture, more than was expected there for the simple reason, Dr. Judge, you know, I wrote you a card from Formosa the last time I was there, that was last year. And I was astounded at the progress that was made in that great island. But notwithstanding that great progress, notwithstanding the fact that Chiang Kai-shek says that his people are better off than they've ever been, we are still having in that area over 200 technicians trying to find ways and means to spend our money. Well, I say that's
Congressman
wrong.
Judd.
Yeah.
Congressman Judd.
But look at the good results as well as the failures. The thing to do is not to scrap the program. When something goes wrong, the first reaction will be scrap the program. Another person says, well, double the program. What I'm saying is the third course, fix the program. Carry on the programs that have been successful and produce the phenomenal results
you yourself have indicated. I'm willing to go along with the program of technical aid, but you don't need the amount that the House is going to vote upon tomorrow. That is $3,100,000,000.
Well,
It's $3,855,000,000.
Right.
You don't need that amount. I say that we could cut less than we had last year. Now, if you recall, last year we appropriated new money, $2,737,000,000.
That's
now,
one reason we have to ask for more this year, is because we got too little last year.
Oh,
and you got the pipeline down and you got to rebuild it
now,
up.
Now, Dr. Judd, listen, my dear sir, you still have unspent, unobligated, over $6 billion.
No, not unobligated.
You have $6 billion unobligated.
No, you got $6 billion unexpended, but it's obligated.
Yeah,
it'll be less than $500 million unobligated.
Well,
you have, according
to my figures here, in the reserve, which is not obligated, 3 2/10 in the military aid alone, 3 2/10 billion. That's there. It hasn't been obligated. Nothing's been done with it.
Well, we've got the facts and figures, and we're the ones been working on this
for eight solid weeks. I've been working for this for 8 years, sir.
Senate's going to begin next week on the details, but here's their estimates right out of our committee report.
Let me go to this question.
An estimated unobligated balances of June 30th in the military is $195 million.
Before asking this next question, Senator, you feel you want this to be cut. How much would you want to cut it?
Well, I wouldn't give, for the whole progress, I would want to trim it as low as possible. I'd go along with about $2 billion, not in excess of that.
You'd cut about $1 billion off?
I would cut over $1 billion from what the House did.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's in addition to the House cut.
We appropriate, yes, sir, yes, sir. With all the unexpended funds and unobligated funds that we have in the pipeline now,
mm-hmm.
It strikes me that we ought to be able to do with not in excess of $2 billion.
I would be willing to even go for that,
but in saying that, I'd want to cut out all economic aid to Western Europe. Mm-hmm. We've just given too much there to Western Europe.
Congressman,
those countries are well able to take care of themselves, and they ought to be willing at least to assist us in Southeast Asia, because they're as much interested there as we are.
Well, as you know, there's no economic aid in the bill, or very little, if anything, for Europe outside of Spain and Berlin.
Oh, not
but,
doctor,
but
doctor,
on the military,
well,
this
doctor,
is great. Well, wait just a minute, if I
go
can
ahead,
get
Congress
in a word
Judd,
or two, Senator. You say that this has all been wasted. I won't agree
no,
with
I didn't
that,
say
because
that.
Well, you gave
that.
The impression. The fact is that we haven't got all we hoped for. But most of the world is still free that was free when we started out 8 years ago. We've lost North Vietnam. That's all that's been lost in that period. And without this program, you will agree that France and Italy and those other countries, as they were in 1947, 48, and 49, would already be gone. That is, the patient is not well, but the patient is still alive. And he wouldn't have been alive without this program.
Well, that's
now, the
why.
Thing to do is to revise the program, study it, tighten it up. I couldn't agree with you more on those things. But let me ask this question. If they cut it down to your figure, will you vote for the program?
Hardly.
That's what I thought.
That is. If economic aid is used, if it's to carry on a program along of technical aid, in order to do things in keeping with the ability of the people there to absorb. I'm for it.
Yeah.
I'll willingly do it. But you say there's no more economic aid in Western Europe except to two countries.
Yeah.
I'm telling you there is still economic aid in offshore procurement. In other words, you've got France today building airplanes for whom? For us? No, for the Allies there. And that is being built in order to, for us to be able to give that to our allies in Western Europe.
Well,
ammunition. You've got ammunition factories, arsenals built in various parts of Europe. And here you've got some other little items here, Dr. Judd, in order to have technical development. We're going into that field in Western Europe. Most people are better off to do that than we are?
Congressman Judd.
Are you against offshore procurement? Offshore procurement means that when we've given these folks the tanks and the guns and so forth, we try to develop in their countries the arsenals and the plants to produce the ammunition and the spare parts to keep the goods that the hardware that we've shipped them in operation.
Yes,
now, we save money by that, Senator. We don't lose money because they can manufacture that a great deal cheaper over there than we can manufacture it and send over parts, and they're better off because if an attack comes, they're in a position to supply themselves instead of having come back to the United States and maybe be cut off from submarine warfare.
This is a place
where we save money,
but
not lose it.
Dr. Judd, when we gave the people of Western Europe these $41 billion that we speak of, we put them on the economic feet. They are able to do the things that you say they're not doing. I say that this offshore procurement is nothing but pure economic aid, except that they don't generate counterpart funds and their expenses that should be borne by the countries that we've so assisted in the past.
May I ask this question, gentlemen? What effect would the president's illness have now on this bill, and can it pass without his active leadership?
I don't think the president's illness will have any effect at all on this bill, and it's going to pass. It'll pass tomorrow, and it'll pass over in the Senate. In the House, it'll pass with my vote. In the Senate, it'll pass, I suppose, without Senator Ellender.
Senator Ellender?
Well, I'll tell you, whether the president were sick or not, I don't believe he'd have the power to have the amount that he's asking for passed by the Congress. And if the bill comes out of conference with as much as $2.5 billion, I'll be very much surprised. Mm-hmm. Now, when I say the bill, I want to kind of qualify that, because the bill that is now before the House and that which is going to come before the Senate is a mere authorization.
That's right.
And I want to say that when the chips are down, that is when we come to appropriate, we from the Appropriations Committee are going to look into every request made, and we want to justify. And as a rule, I think the past has shown that the Congress has cut anywhere from 10 to as much as 30% of the authorized amount. Dr. Judge, you'll agree to that.
I think that's right, and I think that's the reason they had to come back this year and ask for more, is because other years we cut down too much. It's true that I'm on the Authorization Committee in the House, and the Senator has the last word over in the Appropriations Committee, because authorizations are really limitations. They say not to exceed a certain amount, and then most bills, including for our own various programs, the Appropriations Committee frequently can cut things down a certain amount. But I think we have to come back to this. What are we trying to do? I think we have to analyze it in terms of the objective that we're trying to accomplish, and then we have to do just enough to do that and no more. I've seen more than one doctor lose a patient because he was so anxious to save blood that he forgot his job was to save the patient's life. Now, I don't want to waste any blood, but I want to make the operation successful. I want to save this patient's life. I want to keep the free world free. I think, Senator, this program has saved us money, net. Because you talked to Formosa. Korea, Formosa, Pakistan, Turkey have got more than 2.25 million soldiers in the field. We've supplied them. We're putting this money in to enable their economies to support them. Without this in economic system, they couldn't support these large establishments. We've got two divisions in Korea. We had 8. Why have we got 2 divisions? Because there are 20 divisions of Koreans, and they require us putting near $750,000 to get them going.
Senator Ellender.
And if they go down, it'll cost us more money, not less, and our boys too.
Well, Dr. Judd, I go back to the proposition to say to you that I'm in thorough agreement with what we've done in the past, and the reason why we did this in the past was simply and solely to get our allies in a position to assist. But you know as well as I do that notwithstanding the fact that France, that England, and that other countries of Western Europe
are better off economically now than they've ever been, we are still furnishing to them over 40% of their NATO obligations. Now, when you go to a country like Portugal, for instance, you think you have two or three divisions there, as was agreed upon through NATO, no. You have more paper.
That's right.
And what have you got in France? The same thing.
I'm unhappy.
Well, of course you're unhappy. Now, why do you want to continue this?
Well,
that's the point.
I want to tighten it up. I want to fix it.
Well, all right, but you're not going to fix it by putting in more money.
But what's your alternative?
My alternative is to put money in that so that they can do a job in keeping with their own ability to do it. Now, take France.
The people who are doing it, and you're going to have them still doing it, they say what's necessary. Now, I know that people always ask for more money than they
need. The people who say that this is necessary, with all due respects to the president, and I don't want to be disrespectful, but the president himself is not informed on this. He's never been out there to see it. Foster Dulles has traveled a lot around the world, but he hasn't seen much of it except what his own agents in the field desired him to see. If he were to go, let's say in Formosa, and see how the money is spent there. See, in Korea, for instance, we are establishing there, at our own expense, 4 pharmaceutical factories. We've put up 4 flour mills. We've put up 5 starch factories out there, all owned by the government, all to be operated by the government. And we've established quite a few large steam plants to generate electricity. All owned by the government, and we're trying to do things there that are far beyond the capacity of the people in South Korea to handle. And yet you have provided for South Korea and for Formosa almost $1 billion.
That's right.
That's why I want to cut some of this out.
Because they got 1.25 million soldiers standing right up against
the
communists.
Oh, no, wait a minute.
With 1.25 million soldiers standing up against communists.
But it's in addition to this, Mr.
This is the economic aid that will enable their economy. How can a country of 11 million support fourth largest standing army in the free world, which is what you've got in Formosa? Can't do it without aid.
Well,
now the alternative to your starch factories and so on is to make it in the United States and send it over at much greater cost. Power plant is to have our naval ships over there, at great expense, pumping power into into the industries and so on, the power lines of Korea. That's what we did for years and years. Surely you want Korea to become self-sufficient so she won't be on our backs. And the only way is to help her as fast as you can without overdoing it and outcrowding it, overcrowding her, getting her to the point where she can stand on her own.
Gentlemen, may I ask this question now? This past week, the House gave the president and both party leaderships quite a shock in that stunning defeat on the supporting the cut. What's the background of this? What does it mean to you? Senator Ellender, why did you think it would happen?
You mean, it's just because people are souring on this foreign aid business. As you just indicated, we spent billions of dollars hoping to accomplish a certain goal, and that goal hasn't been as yet reached, notwithstanding the fact we spent everything that we're talking about right now.
Does that sour effect hold true in the Senate? Do you feel?
I hope so, and I think it will.
Let me ask Congressman Judd that.
I think there's several reasons. One is what Senator Ellender said. There's fatigue. I mean, you get tired of this after a while. The second is that a lot of people, including administration people in the past and perhaps the present, year by year have come up and said, now we got to get this year. And in order to get through this year, they've drawn too optimistic a picture that after a while we could taper off. I never did. I said until the communist conspiracy fades or changes, we've got to carry on this kind of a program. Then there's another reason, which I think we shouldn't underestimate. This is a communist victory. They set out to get us to relax tensions. They set out to say that everything's sweet and lovely, and they're winning. And this is a resulting part of the first Geneva. Whenever we fraternize with them or appear to, the world says, well, if you're going to make an adjustment to them, why in the world should we Americans continue to appropriate so much money? This is one of the liabilities of the effort to get peaceful coexistence. On top of that, everybody knows that there is in the works a restudy. Senator Ellender's worked for it. I've worked for it. I've been just as bitter as he has at some of these waste and inefficient operations around the world. And a lot of people said, wait till the restudy comes in. Then we'll decide how much to go. There's a whole combination of factors.
Gentlemen, may I ask you this question? You know, in the current issue of Reader's Digest, America's most widely read magazine, there's a provocative article entitled Needed, a New Foreign Economic Policy. And in it, the author, Peter Drucker, says, our aid to other nations will have to be regarded as an investment in our own economic future rather than as aid to foreigners. Does this make sense to you? Well, Senator Elder?
Of course it does. What we have done, however, in the past, in contrary to what Mr. Brooker stated there, and that, I believe, is what provoked the article, is that we have so assisted our foreign friends that in many cases they've captured our foreign markets in many of our agricultural products, let's say. We've taught them how to grow cotton better than they did in the past. We've taught them how to grow wheat and other agricultural products much better. And we have enormous surpluses today, and when we attempt to try to regain our foreign markets, the State Department steps in and says, no, don't you do that, for the simple reason that you might make our friends mad.
Well, let me...
The policy that has been developed has simply meant that these governments that we've assisted are now producing many commodities that are in direct competition with us. Your money and my money has been used to do that. And what I'd like to do is to have a program based on technical aid and let the countries of South America and Central America and even Asia utilize these great resources that are found in the earth, bring them to the surface, and bring on happiness and contentment to their people. And I believe that that is a thing to do. Now, my good friend, Congressman Judd has just said that the Russians are starting anew. Of course the Russians are winning the Cold War. They're making us spend all we can. And if we continue at the rate we're going now, Congressman Judd, just as sure as I'm talking to you, we're going to destroy initiative, and with that,
Well, our way of life, and
the Russians will not have to fire a shot to do it.
Gentlemen, does this apply to Yugoslavia?
Well, come back a minute. You asked him a long question here. At least he gave a long answer, and it was a good answer. You asked what I thought about this article. I think that's a very excellent article. The senator says that we should go ahead with technical assistance. Well, it's technical assistance which has produced the competition to ourselves. For example, we've gone into Formosa and found that sugarcane grows almost like weeds. And by giving them technical assistance, they're producing sugar today, so they're in a position to export second only to Cuba. Now, we're sending the money over here, which Senator Ellinger objects to. They want to pay for it with their sugar. Is Senator Ellinger willing to let the sugar to come into the United States to pay for the goods we're selling? No, because it competes with his sugar down. It competes with our sugar up in Minnesota from beets. It competes with the Philippines. It competes with Hawaii. It competes with Cuba. Here's Burma. We went out to India and with technical assistance enabled India to produce enough grain to feed herself. Burma was the great supplier of rice. Burma's economy was disrupted by our activities in India. Now, Burma will go with us if we'll take her rice. But Senator will be opposed to her taking her rice because rice also grows in Louisiana. Now, this is the problem we face. Mm-hmm. It's not easy. It's tough any way you look at it. But the problem of a new economic policy where we go at it, as we said in the outset, I think that's got to come. But in the meantime, you can't go off and abandon the patients while you work out a better medicine.
Now, there's another phase to this, gentlemen, we haven't talked about. I noticed in a speech yesterday that Secretary Dulles says that a certain amount of wastage and inefficiency in administering foreign aid is the price we pay for human frailties. Do you think this is a normal price now? Is the State Department competent to administer that program? And in your opinion, is there any communist influence in the State Department?
I oppose this being in the State Department. I thought it ought to be a separate operating agency. The State Department ought to be concerned with policy, the same as the National Security Council, the President, the Cabinet work out policy. But the Pentagon is an operating agency. It isn't supposed to make policy. It's supposed to support and carry out American policy. Nevertheless, it was put by the Congress last year into the State Department. I think it's bad for the State Department. I think it's bad for ICA. It ought to be a hard-boiled operation carrying out American policies and with all and always striving to clean out these places where there are leakages. When we've got programs in more than 60 countries around the world, it's inevitable that there will be some bad cases. People get homesick, they're away from the home, they go berserk.
Well, are there bad influences in the State Department, in your opinion?
No.
Well, I don't, I think that there have people, as the senator said earlier, there are people who developed a bureaucracy. They're the experts. Mm-hmm. They want to continue. They resist every
Senator
effort
Rowland.
To...
Well, that's exactly the point I mentioned a while ago, but not in detail. Those who ask for these huge amounts are people who are going to administer that. Mm-hmm. They're job holders. They're out in the field. And it's on their testimony upon which the Secretary of State, as well as the president, as dependent.
With a short time left to go, how do you feel about Yugoslavia, India, and these other countries?
Well, I believe that we ought to... We can't afford, of course, to give India all she needs to make a development program there. But I do believe that we can help in a small way in having a few examples in health and some kind of technical aid. Now, insofar as you...
The great problem there is the communists in China, by ruthless destruction of freedom, are making what appears to the people of Asia an attractive game. India is trying to be democratic. We don't like her position, but we'd rather have her neutral than to abandon her, and she'd have no course than to become an enemy over in the communist camp.
Gentlemen, I'm sorry I must interrupt. Our time is up. Our guests have been today, and we thank them very much. Senator Allen Ellender, Democrat of Louisiana, and Congressman Walter Judd, Republican of Minnesota. The nation's first discussion program, the American Forum, is now in its 28th year.